Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The United States of America. The radical Muslim world has declared war on America. We are at war. We are at war.
Right, let's pause right here. You just heard a piece of not only radio history, but a piece of U.S. history. That was Michael Savage, 9/11/2001. That's a long time ago, isn't it? 13 years is a long time. And that's what I declared when the Islamists attacked us on 9/11 in 2001. And today, thank God, although the day is not yet over, we have to thank the FBI. We have to thank the CIA. We have to thank DHS. We even have to thank those who strip search us at the airport and the TSA for keeping us safe today. I mean, how come we can't say that? They did their job. They can say, well, they didn't do it. They did their job. I mean, we all hate being frisked and this and that, but it's working. The Islamists seem to be either laying low, waiting for the end of the day, but they didn't hit us. They didn't hit Europe. We kept being, oh, they're going to hit Europe. They're going to hit this. They're going to hit that. I'm sick and tired of worrying what they're going to do. It's time to hit them. Make them run and scurry in the desert sands. What is this? We're running like a bunch of cowards. We're Americans, for God's sake. Screw them. Screw them. Make them scurry into a sand pile like the rats they are. At least it's one man's opinion. That's what I think. What is this with Americans hiding in their houses with loaded guns, waiting for them to come and get you? Go and get them. As George Orwell wrote in the 1930s during the rise of fascism, if a man comes to put a bomb in your mother's house, put a bomb in his mother's house first. Period. That's what the president should have said last night. He shouldn't have said, if you get us, we'll get you. What kind of nonsense is this? Get them before they get you. That's all. That's the whole story. I mean, we have the speech, all right? So those who don't like him are going to criticize it, and the sycophants loved it. The sycophants, oh, they loved the speech. They couldn't get enough of it. Bob Schieffer, a real reliable source, that one is. Bob Schieffer, a stooge, a government stooge, gushed over the Obama speech, representing a major change in American strategy. Then there were those who said this was closer to a Bush speech than anything Obama has said before. We'll play those later. Then you're going to ask me what I thought of the speech. The answer is I didn't listen to it. I swear to God, it's the first major presidential address that I didn't listen to. I know I was supposed to, but for some reason I didn't want to. I didn't care. I figured whatever he said didn't mean anything. I've reached a point where I don't even listen to what he says anymore. What he, the great God, the great Alinsky scholar is going to tell me this, that, you know, whatever. Peace prize, this prize, we will destroy them, we'll eradicate them. More troops, no safe haven. They're going to arm ISIS allies in Syria. That really makes sense. That makes sense. Give weapons and training to the enemies of America in Syria, Colorado. Earliest snowfall on record in South Dakota. Did you see that in the Drudge Report? You hear this? No, notice Al Gore is nowhere to be seen. He's like a groundhog. Whenever there's nothing to prove global warming, which, of course, doesn't exist, at least, let us say, man-induced global warming. We all know we hate pollution, so please don't put me in the camp of a guy who loves pollution. I've been fighting it longer than you have probably been born. I was rescuing rainforests before most of you leftists were even born, before you were glinting your father's eye. I'm not arguing in favor of pollution. I hate pollution. I'm a naturalist. I'm a botanist. So don't tell me what I already know. Earliest snowfall on record in South Dakota. Snow blankets, Denver. Al Gore, of course, is hiding because it doesn't support their fantasy. Nature has a way of correcting itself. That doesn't mean we shouldn't rid ourselves of these horrendous machines that poison the earth. We will, and we are. We've gone from coal to gasoline. I'm sure eventually we'll go from gasoline to solar power entirely. Who wouldn't want solar power? I mean, I do like a 500-horsepower engine, don't get me wrong. But a solar car would be fine if they could really make one that worked, that you don't have to plug in. Plug in, turn on, take off. That would be the motto of the hydrogen car that I want. Plug in, turn on, take off. I don't know. I'm in a giddy mood. You know, because there was no attack. Thank God. There's no attack. I mean, what do you want me to talk about? Islamist, oh, I can't even say his name. Islamic speech? I don't want to talk about the Islamic speech. I am not interested in the Islamic speech of last night. I am not interested in the Islamic speech. We have all the clips. The poor guys are working since midnight. I didn't listen to it. I forgot about it. I swear. It wasn't even like listen to me. It's not like I said, oh, this president's going to speak and I'm not going to listen to him. No, I forgot about it completely. I went to dinner. I forgot the president was giving a monumental address. I ordered spaghetti made of squid ink, black spaghetti made of squid ink, because it's supposed to be good for your you-know-what. It comes from Italy in a certain little Italian restaurant, a new one I go to now in a little town. He had it on the menu. Oh, it was good. He said, you want it al dente? I said, no, give me al dente. I want it soft. I want it soft as possible. Marinara sauce, put some Gulf shrimp on it and some petrolli sole. And I had a Bud Light. That's my exquisite drink, a Bud Light. Now, I'm drinking, you know why I'm drinking Bud Light? They should advertise already. Because what I'm about to say is going to revolutionize the beer industry. I'm a beer drinker. I can't drink as much wine as I used to. Don't get me wrong. I drink wine, but not as much. My wines are too expensive for the year. So the thing is, I drank Bud Light last night because I was researching gluten-free beers. And it turns out that any beer made with rice is basically gluten-free. Budweiser is derived from a fermentation of rice, not wheat. Huh. Who knew? You know, it's supposedly a cheap beer, but actually I get no sense of bloating. I get gloating, but no bloating. And that was the meal. The dog got the chicken on the side. And I missed the president's speech. I'm sorry. I apologize in advance. I feel giddy because we haven't been attacked. We haven't been attacked. Where are they? Where are they hiding now? What are they planning now? Where are they? They're so consumed with hate, it's beyond belief. How do people grow up hating everybody so much? How? They're not even Democrats. How do they get like this? How do they grow up hating from the day they're born? Look, if I was a Freud, if I had studied Freudian psychology, I would assume it's sexual frustration. The whole thing's built on a sexual repression. This goes back to the anti-war movement of make love, not war, when you really think about it. When the hippie girls were putting the stems of daisies in the rifles of the National Guard. Remember those days, if you were around then? That was a cute little image. The hippie chicks with the body paint, make love, not war, with the poor 18-year-old kids with guns. I mean, they didn't know what to do. They had a fixed bayonet at the college campus waiting for a riot. And here comes this chick, half-dressed, and putting a body paint on, sticking a flower in the barrel of the gun. Can someone do that with the Islamists, put a flower in their gun? I don't think so. No, I don't think that would work. Flower power. That wouldn't work, I don't think, in the Middle East. That's another reason they're frustrated. They don't grow flowers there. It's too arid. Think about what they're deprived of. Sex, flowers, alcohol. It could turn you into a mad terrorist. We're very lucky. We're living in a temperate climate where you can grow flowers. Sex is basically free love today. And you can grow flowers, sex. I mean, it's wonderful. That's why there's less violence in America than anywhere on Earth. You know, there may be a study that could be done on this. No, that wouldn't work, because in certain communities, sex is rampant. They have it like mink all the time, and yet they kill people anyway with bats. No, that wouldn't work. And they shoot each other, so that wouldn't work. No, sorry, that theory doesn't. Scratch that from the PhD dissertation list. Sorry, I couldn't lead you into that one if you were looking for a degree in sociology. So I'm just rambling along. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you know. This is called rapping amongst one subpopulation. This is known as free association amongst others. This is known as the savage nation amongst others. Did I ever tell you where the idea of free association began? It began in the Bible. If you look at the original Old Testament, basically it's old Jews who are rapping in the desert. I could set the Old Testament to music. It would be amazing. Maybe I should do that. Someone's going to steal this idea, but I was thinking about it. If you look at the prophets, any of them, I'm not going to read them to you now. I know you don't want to hear this. You go Genesis, Exodus. It was like, you know, writings. God gave you the... But then you get the prophets, Ezekiel and such, and they're rapping, basically. They were all angry men. They were like Isaiah, angry at everybody. Another one with sexual frustration, probably deficient in B vitamins as well, when you think about it. If there were B vitamins in biblical days, I don't think we would have had the trouble we have today. He hated everybody. Isaiah was mad at the world. He was so angry. Everybody, whatever, every page you open, Isaiah, to a people terrible from their beginning onward, everything was no good. Everybody was no good. Horrible to the old prophets. No good, no good. They're no good. All the people are no good. The Jews especially are no good. I may be one of you, but I'm not among you. I am separate from you. I'm better than you. You're horrible. Look at you having a good time while I'm miserable here, telling you how miserable you are, or how miserable you should be. What are you worshiping idols for? Stop and do what I do. You'll be as miserable as I am any minute now. His idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rock. Ooh, wow, it's heavy-duty stuff. Proverbs, Proverbs, Proverbs. I read it all. I mean, the thing is, it may all have to do with the lack of vitamins, bad alcohol. I mean, I think the wine was bad in those days, too, when you think about it. But they stepped on it. That was their whole idea of being a winemaker. They stepped on it and they let it age for about 2 seconds. I don't know if I could talk about this today. The speech, voter. You know what's a big topic, a very big topic? Do you want to comment on the president's ISIL speech? I have the whole thing. All right, guys, play a little piece of it so they know what they're listening to on the Savage Nation. Play it. Play it now. Anything, whatever.
My fellow Americans.
My fellow here.
Tonight I want to speak to you about what the United States will do.
Right off the bat, I turn it off. But the minute I hear fellow Americans, I turn it off. I'm not living in Benjamin Franklin's time. Kind of revise the script. Fellow Americans. I mean, it just strikes me as a stupid, idiotic speech. Okay, go on. I won't say another word.
My highest priority is the security of the American people.
Wait a minute, stop. Wait a minute, sir. Sir, with all respect to yourself and your office, if your highest priority is to the safety of the American people, why have you broken our border open on the South and let in children with diseases such as TB, which is now spreading in Lynn, Massachusetts, and the respiratory illnesses that are spreading throughout the Midwest because of you? What do you mean your highest priority? Who wrote this for him? Newt Gingrich? All right, let's hear a little bit more.
We have consistently taken the fight to terrorists who threaten our country. We took out Osama bin Laden and much of Al-Qaeda.
Again, Osama bin Laden.
In Afghanistan and Pakistan.
I can't. I see, I told you, Ken. I don't like anyone who says Pakistan either. It's too politically correct. Americans say Pakistan, not Pakistan. Right away, there's a giveaway. Think about what I'm saying. Is, you know, there's a lot to be seen in what I'm saying. Pakistan. That's like saying gutter, guitar, catter. No one has to. Why do you have to pronounce it like you're a native of the area? Do it in the American vernacular. Pakistan. If you're from Brooklyn, say Pakistan. If you're from Queens, say Pakistan. If you're from the Bronx, say Pakistan. Oh, my God. I can see where I'm going today. I have the whole speech here. He says, we can't erase every trace of evil from the world and small groups of killers to have the capacity to do great harm. All right, let's take our hats off to the president. He has kept us safe from another 9/11 attack. I mean, we're all the nervous Nellies of America, especially on the right side, expected to be attacked today so they could say, look at that, they failed us again. I mean, the day isn't over, I get it. They could be waiting for prime time. It's still early in the day. But do you mind that I say thank you to the agencies? Why do you get angry at me if I say, must you hate everything the government does just out of spite? Must you? I mean, it's a day to celebrate. All right, so we hate being frisked. We don't like the invasion of our privacy. We don't. But meanwhile, they kept the creeps away from us. They're hiding in some desert rat hole somewhere. You know, where are they? Where are they all? Even our domestic terrorists are shutting their mouths up for a while. They're not dancing on the roofs of Passaic. Because there's nothing to celebrate today. America is safe. So you have to say, you know, at a certain point, give credit where credit is due. Am I allowed to do that? We'll have to toe the party line now and talk about George Washington and the Federalist Papers. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Here's the latest news. Last night, the president said that Turkey will be part of the coalition. Today, Erdogan of Turkey said they will not allow the U.S. to use its air bases to fight ISIS. End of story. Turkey will refuse to allow a U.S.-led coalition to attack jihadists in neighboring Iraq and Syria from its air bases, nor will it take part in combat operations against militants, a government official told AFP Thursday. That's a horrible decision for us. Now, this decision follows the nation's refusal to allow the U.S. to station 60,000 troops in Turkey in 2003 to invade Iraq from the north. Look, the Turkish military is a very powerful military. Just look up Gallipoli if you think that it just started. You know, if you remember the movie Gallipoli with Mel Gibson, it's a long time ago. But Gallipoli was a horrible tragedy because the Turks are ferocious warriors and they have a phenomenal military. Unfortunately for the West, they have tilted to Islamism under Erdogan, who's trying to stave off his own overthrow, basically, by appeasing them. You know, that's his political base he's got to worry about. Yesterday, Obama stated Turkey needs to be involved in a coalition against ISIS. I think we have that, right? And today, Turkey said, no, nothing doing. Terrible. Just horrible. Just horrible, horrible, horrible. 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 Not good. Not good. All right, listen to me. For every gold star caller today, I give away a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. But you really have to be a good caller. I'm trying to cull the IQ people. Free copies of Stop the Civil War from today forward until it comes out in October. Turkey refuses Obama's request to use its air bases to fight ISIS. Bad news.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We can't erase every trace of evil from the world, and small groups of killers have the capacity to do great harm. That was the case before 9/11.
Right on.
That remains true today.
All power to
the people.
That's why
we must remain vigilant as threats emerge. At this moment, the greatest threats come from the Middle East and North Africa.
Actually, they come from the southern border.
Exploit grievances for their own gain.
It's mainly the people you're bringing in.
One of those groups is ISIL, which calls itself the Islamic State.
All right. Now, the next one is... Hold on a minute. Isn't that sexist to say my fellow Americans? I mean, if I were a feminist, would I consider myself a fellow American? What is a woman a fellow American? I want to know that. It seems rather sexist, to be honest with you. For a guy as politically left as him, how would you reposition that vernacular from my fellow Americans in this sensitive day and age? My something Americans, my fellet Americans, I don't know. What's the right word? I don't know the right word. My American? My American serfs or something like that? To all the serfs out there who pay me taxes so I can fly around and play golf, I will keep you safe. Look, I'm giddy. You know why? Because it's 9/11. Nothing happened. That's all. It's that simple. I feel good. What do you want me to be unhappy every day of my life? Something's going to happen. And my feeling is this. The entire Muslim world is eventually going to rise up against the West. It's going to happen. They're going to unify, whether it's 50 years from now or whenever. And you may as well look ahead now like a MacArthur looking at China down the road. MacArthur lost his job because he said what I'm about not to say, so I'm not going to say it because I don't want to lose mine. The problem here is that the genius in the White House is not going to use sufficient force to make a lasting impression on the terrorists who only understand power. The only thing they understand is death and terror and power, in plain English. I mean, you want to be serious about it. It's a gang that's rising up, threatening the sovereignty of the gangs that run the West. And the gangs that run the West right now permit a certain degree of tolerance and prosperity, while the gangs that are rising up permit no such thing. So they have to be wiped off the planet. We may not like the gangs that run the West right now. And by the way, this is a secondary story. Britain's about to break up. This is a huge story. Cameron was crying yesterday. He went to Scotland and he said, as Prime Minister, he'll, you know, still be Prime Minister if Scotland decides to secede from the Union. That is a monstrously big story. The first time in 300 years that Scotland will be independent. Do you realize how big that is? I mean, this is beyond Mel Gibson. That's how big it is. And the thing is that if it breaks up, I have to ask you this question. Why all of a sudden are all these nations breaking up? And here's another question. If the Scottish people can vote for independence from 10 Downing Street and have an independent government and this and that, why is it that we can't break up? Why can't we break up with the federal government? Why can't there be a secession movement in America, a real one, to break away from the juggernaut of the radical leftists who have seized power? The problem is that geographically we're too unified for that to happen. There's no clearly separatist nation here that wants separation. It's not like the Basque in France. They're going to break away, no doubt, or Spain or whoever they're allied with. You know, here's another issue about separation that no one's asked so far as I know, but it's coming up to me because of the squid spaghetti last night. It went to my brain. You know what this is? We keep hearing that Ukraine had the right to break away from the ex-Soviet Union. When the Soviet Union broke up, Ukraine and other satellite nations had the right to break apart and become independent nations. We all agree that was a good thing, right? Because they didn't want to function under the yoke of Moscow, right? So we all agree with that. So now why can't eastern Ukraine break away from Kiev? Don't they have a right to secede because they don't like Kiev? Wait a minute. Do you follow what I just said to you? Has anyone been as brilliant as me on this issue? No. Nobody has said that. In other words, if I'll repeat it again for those of you with lower than a 19 IQ. If Ukraine had the right to break away from the ex-Soviet Union, and we all agree it did, okay, then why can't eastern Ukraine break away from Kiev? They don't want to be ruled by them. They say they're culturally different, so we're breaking away. Why are we on the side of Ukraine? It's just a breakaway part of the, you know what I'm saying? It's a breakaway thing. But it would be like saying, okay, Scotland's breaking away from Downing Street, from England. What, are we going to go to war now with England? Or rather, with Scotland when they break away? Send fighter jets over Edinburgh? This is insanity. But the real question here is, here's the real question, my friends. Why are so many nations breaking apart? This is a huge story unto itself. I don't think we've covered it. I don't know that we should cover it or need to cover it on a radio show. This is kind of a college question. But it's a big question. Why are these nations breaking apart? It started with, you know, separatist movements here, separatist movements there. The Arab world is in turmoil. The U.S. encouraged it. The Arab Spring was a design of Hillary Clinton. Actually, the design, as far as I can tell, it was funded by George Soros. I put all of this together and stopped the coming civil war in a huge chapter. And I believe the money for the separatist movements in the Arab nation came from the George Soros group. It was orchestrated by Brzezinski. It was enacted by other players, including Hillary Clinton and Obama. And as a result, we've had a disaster in the Arab world. A disaster. The Arab Spring, as I termed it, the Arab Winter, right off the bat, within a month, has been one of the great unmitigated disasters of modern times. But now this desire for separatism is spreading to the West. Scotland is about to vote to break away from England. Can you believe that? That is a huge earthquake of a story. Wouldn't it be nice if we could break away from Obama and the federal government? I mean, if there was some kind of geographic separation between us and them, and we could say, you know, we don't like anything you're doing. We don't like you flooding America with illegal aliens. We don't like you cozying up to the Islamists. We don't like what you've done to our military. We're breaking away. We want our own nation. It's not going to happen, though. We're just too scattered. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if the savage nation was actually a nation? If we had a landmass, that would be really nice. They're liable to give us one in the FEMA camps. I better be careful. Ha, ha, ha. What do you want to talk about on Savage Nation? We haven't won a war since World War II because we won't grant the enemy their death wish. It's that simple. That's why we have not won a war since World War II, because we will not give the enemies of America their death wish. That's all. We're fighting a death cult right now. They're not the Russians. The reason that this mutually assured destruction business worked is because the Russians were rational. That's why we didn't fire nukes at them and they didn't fire nukes at us, because they're rational, sane people. We're now fighting a death cult who uses their religion, which offers them a paradise in the afterlife that is preferable to their horrendous, disgusting life on Earth. That's the problem here. I mean, in plain English. I mean, how else can I put it to you? That's how I see it. It's one man's opinion. So let's play Nowhere to Run, Nowhere to Hide and go to clip number 19 of the Savage Nation.
In a region that has known so much bloodshed, these terrorists are unique in their brutality. They execute captured prisoners. They kill children. They enslave, rape, and force women into marriage. They threaten a religious minority with genocide. And in acts of barbarism, they took the lives of two American journalists.
I would have come out with dancers on the stage just to, you know, just to show America we're not afraid. I would have had a chorus line come out before the president. I would have opened with a rock and roll song. Then I would have come out in with eyeglasses and maybe a golf bag on his back to show he doesn't care. And then I would have threatened them with everything that we have in our arsenal, and that would have been it. But we have to be thankful today that we are enjoying the day. There's no bombing, and there's no nothing. There's no nothing. Something, there's nothing. They haven't bombed us. Where are they? So again, if you've missed it, we take our hats off today to the FBI, CIA, NSA, let's see who else, DHS, TSA for strip searching nuns. We want to thank you for keeping us safe on this 9/11, by the way. WABC Frank, you're the first caller of the day, and you're a winner of Stop the Coming Civil War. Frank, what's on your mind, Frank?
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Savage? I am a first-time caller, and I've only been listening for about a year now. I just got out of the service, 2 deployments. I am a combat vet, and I totally appreciate what you're doing for us.
Hold on. You mean even my goofing around appeals to you?
Yeah, it takes me and calms me down a little bit, absolutely.
Well, you know why? Because an American should be a little bit goofy, and we should be a little bit humorous and not take these characters so seriously. It's that simple. No, I get it. I hear you. You understand what I'm saying. The average American who is not in combat cannot be frightened by these maniacs.
No, they have no idea.
What's your message today, Frank?
Okay. Every time Mr. Obama refers to them as ISIL, it's a reference, it's a geographical reference to Iraq, Syria, Libya, and Egypt to include that land bridge in between, which includes Israel. So every time he uses the term ISIL, it's a wink and a nod to the Muslim Brotherhood that he does not support or recognize Israel as a country.
Holy God.
And if you'll notice, everybody else calls them ISIS because they recognize it as being based solely in Iraq and Syria and spreading from there. But when he references them, that's his little wink and nod to his buddies that he will not support or recognize the Israeli state.
Wow. That's pretty heavy. That's a heavy-duty thing. I'm going to send you a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. I think you'll find the chapter on how he's destroying the military most interesting, where I delineate who he's fired and why. Thanks for your service, Frank. That's the least I can do for you. It is the Savage Nation. If you care to coin the conversation, you can't do it, but you can call the show at 855-400. You can't coin the conversation, but you can call the show at 855-400-7282. We're basically deconstructing the president's speech by not deconstructing it. And I have to admit, I didn't listen to it. I was busily eating last night, and I had forgotten completely that there was a speech on terrorism. I, as a man in the media, I feel embarrassed that I didn't listen to it. I got a call immediately after it by a very important person in the media, said, "Did you hear it? Did you hear it?" He said, "Did you hear what?" I said, "Did you hear what? Did I hear what? The speech. I said, "No, really, I didn't. I was busy watching the hawks fly over the trees before going out to dinner. I didn't. It was unbelievable to me. We have nuclear weapons. We've been in war since World War II. It doesn't mean we should use nukes, but, you know, there used to be a weapon, and maybe now's the time to talk about it. The neutron bomb developed by Edward Teller. I hinted at it yesterday. I wish I could find that tape. I'm the only one in the American media that ever interviewed Teller in radio that I know of. While the others were still working for the government as government agents or spinning records, I was interviewing Edwin Teller when I was a local host, and he developed a neutron bomb. And you have to understand, I think it was the Pope who gave him an award for developing a humane weapon. But do you know who took apart, who disassembled our nuclear weapon? Our neutron bombs. It was George Bush. It was not a liberal. Well, okay, sorry. It was George Bush, the liberal. Sorry, the New World Order, Bush II. Actually, it was Bush 1. Bush 1 took apart our nukes, our neutron bomb, because it was considered too advanced a weapon. No one else had one. Can you imagine that? You know what a neutron bomb does? It kills living things, but not objects. So buildings don't go down, cities don't crumble, but the people basically die. But if they're out to eradicate you, don't you want to hit them first? Does that make sense to you? Of course, you say, well, they're dispersed. That makes a good point. That's a good point. They're dispersed, and you don't know where to get them. Yeah, I got, they're fighting in small groups, etc. So, okay, I get it. But, you know, we used to have that in the arsenal. How do you feel about targeted airstrikes? Well, okay, you say, oh, put boots on the ground. Who? Who's the boot? The poor guys who've been over there and been shafted by their own military? The guys I've tried to help who've been court-martialed, who I've raised money for about 6 years now? That started with Bush. Bush's rules of engagement have crippled us. It's Bush's rules of engagement that crippled us. And they've only gotten worse under you-know-who. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. You know, let's be serious for a second or two. The rise of ISIS or ISIL, the Islamo-Klux Klan, as I affectionately call them, is actually a good thing because everybody hates them. Syria hates them under Assad. Iran hates them. Iraq hates them. Are you following what I'm saying? Russia hates them. Who likes them? Everybody hates them. So we now have the opportunity to understand a few things. Everybody hates them. This is a wonderful opportunity. Syria, Iran, Iraq, Israel, Russia, Saudi Arabia, the United States, UAE, all now have a mutual interest in destroying them. And so to make a statement that all Muslims are fanatics or all Muslims are terrorists is ridiculous. And it's not going to help us in a war against terrorism, incidentally. And to get into this idea of a crusade is also not going to help us. These are criminals who use their Quran as a weapon. And they would be criminals in any country. You've got to cut off their revenue. You've got to cut off their command and control. And then you got to work out with your worst enemy, sending in troops from the other countries to kill them. That's the general idea. Agree or disagree?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Who would not love me after listening to this show? Who in the world would not love this show? Welcome to the program. And we're talking about last night's limpy speech by the president. You know, look, those who love him are going to say it was great, as you had already from the normal leftists. And those who don't like his policies didn't like the speech. So that's what you'd expect. So what's the point of talking about it? The thing is, I don't think the enemies were frightened by it. And that's the end of the story. I mean, how do you win a war that's really a war of ideas? This is a war of ideas. And now Homeland Security says to us, we can't stop ISIS from coming into the U.S. That's according to the New York Post. Meanwhile, while this is going on, Obama's still flooding America with illegal aliens, many of whom are diseased. And we learned today that schools are scrambling, listen to this, to meet the emotional needs of illegal alien children because they're lonely, because they left their parents and their friends behind. Well, actually, you should bring in the whole country. Mercy Rakok left her mother, Sylvia Rock, middle father, Angel Rock, unpacked school supplies in preparation for the girls' first day of school in Northern Virginia. Isn't that nice? And take a guess, as this horde is descending en masse onto the public schools of America, bringing an array of problems that the school officials cannot address, illness, physiological, psychological. We're supposed to deal with this when we have our own dysfunctional children in this country? How in the world could you not understand what a disaster this is? He released almost 100,000 border children into this country. And now we're here to have problems. No kidding. No kidding. And where are the children? Well, we don't know, but we do know that there are disease clusters in the country. You can pretty much be certain that some of these disease clusters are where the children have been dumped. But okay, what can I say? We got an administration that says they're protecting us, and you know they're not protecting us. They broke the border, blah, blah, blah. So how do you feel about that? I feel terrible about it. I answered my own question. Don't call me on it. We're really talking about 9/11, and we're talking about the fact that today is 9/11, and many of us were afraid that we were going to be attacked today because of the weakness of the government. Now, for whatever the reasons are, the day is not over. We haven't been attacked yet. So whatever they're doing in their own imperfect way, it's working. We don't like being spied on. We don't like being strip searched. We don't like any of it, but it's working. Or you could say that the Islamists are just waiting. They said, well, you know what, let's not hit him on 9/11. Let's hit him on 9/12. All right, you could say anything you want. You could say anything you want. It's a free country. Again, in this hour, all of the best callers get free copies of Stop the Coming Civil War. I'm gonna tread lightly on the new book until the week until it's actually published, because then I'm gonna need you to go out and buy it in the store. I need you to clean the shelves out in order to send the message to the bookstores that we know what's going on. How do you feel about the president's speech, which I didn't listen to at all? As I say, I was watching hawks fly over trees. Then I went to dinner, now that I recall. Because the speech was at 6 o'clock Western Pacific. At that time, I was looking at hawks gently gliding over trees here in Northern California. I found that far more interesting than watching the president's speech. I just forgot it completely. And then I went and had the spaghetti, the black spaghetti with the squid ink in it, supposedly good for the you-know-what. It has a mythical, you know, when they always say that, and men, they'll look for that stuff, whatever. I like the taste. I didn't get it for any particular Viagra-like effect. I like the squid ink spaghetti because it has a really unique, it's better than white spaghetti, isn't it? I mean, it's denuded spaghetti. What do I need that for? This has to be better for me, the squid ink. So we're not getting dragged into another ground war. Let's listen to clip 26. This is good. Let me hear this one. 26 is the next. That's the one I want.
As I said before, these American forces will not have a combat mission.
Oh.
We will not get dragged into another ground war in Iraq. But they are needed to support Iraqi and Kurdish forces with training, intelligence, and equipment.
Okay, I say yes to the training the Kurdish forces, the PPK fighters, but I think we've seen that our Iraqi partners are worthless on the battlefield, since when they faced ISIS, they threw down their weapons and ran away and let them capture our tanks, trucks, all those new Toyotas, you know what I mean? They cost us a lot of money. They're shiny, right out of the factory. Okay, let's hear clip the next 27. The next clip after 26 has no number. Across the border in Syria is the one with no number. The no-numbered clip from last night I want to hear.
Across the border in Syria, we have ramped up our military assistance to the Syrian opposition.
Big mistake.
Tonight I call on Congress again to give us additional authorities and resources to train and equip these fighters. In the fight against ISIL, we cannot rely on an Assad regime that terrorizes its own people, a regime that will never regain the legitimacy it has lost.
Here we go again. You see, it's a pretext. It's a subtext to fight Assad. That's what I fear. It's that simple. My fear is they're going to overthrow Assad under the guise of attacking ISIS, and then you're going to have real hell to pay for when that happens. You'll see Christians coming out of Syria telling horror stories that you can't imagine. You're not hearing them now because of Bob Schieffer. The reason you're not hearing about the horror stories of Christians right now in the Middle East is because of Bob Schieffer and Wolf Blitzer and Ted Turner's minions there at CNN and everywhere else. It's a horror right now, a horror show like the Holocaust. There's a Christian Holocaust going on in the Middle East, but hey, what the heck? Let's talk about Bono and the iTunes release. That's a bigger story. Eh, that's the biggest story coming out of the Hollywood area there. That's all. Let's move it along. Let's not keep the Stooges too interested in what's going on in the Middle East. It's bad for business. Now play Black Magic Woman by Santana, because I'm in the mood for that. When it came to my mind, you see, I have an intuitive sense of music lately. Sometimes I get suggestions that come to me. Sometimes a song will pop in my head and I don't know why it fits. And when the song plays, suddenly I start to think another way. Play, get to the lyrics. You could drop. You could have a conniption. Play it with the lyrics. Where is it? See, I don't listen to any of this anymore. I want to hear the lyrics. That's, there's a point to the lyrics. I know you're all excited over this thing. But they really threaten us here, I mean, in reality. Bunch of throwbacks living in the 9th century. What are they doing here to begin with? They came over here, they had never used toilet paper or toothbrush. Now they're on welfare and they're thinking about killing us. How do you like that? Because they're jealous of your shoes, your car, and your wife. It's that simple. They're jealous of your wife, your car, and your shoes, so they want to kill you. It's all human jealousy. That has to happen. I mean, think about it. If you're sitting in a rotten apartment somewhere with 16 children, you don't have a job, you're living on welfare, and all you do is you see guys driving around in nice cars with good-looking wives with nice shoes, what would you feel? I mean, you got to have the sympathy for these poor immigrants that don't work and sit there on welfare and plot to kill us. You have to see it through their eyes. You have to be Dr. Unsavage. You have to have sympathy for the devil. You can't hate the devil. No, you have to love the devil. You have to embrace the devil. At least that's what the administration would tell us. And so, okay, we did the thing. Now we get up to the speech part where he says we have to eradicate the cancer. Where's the cancer part of it? Now, it will take time to eradicate the cancer like ISIL. I don't know where that is. You know, it's somewhere in there. I don't see that one. Let's hear clip 35 so that people know what I'm talking about. They know that we are referring to the president's strategy in clip 35, please.
It is America that has the capacity and the will to mobilize the world against terrorists.
Really?
It is America that has rallied the world against Russian aggression.
Wait a minute. Stop it. It's the EU and American aggression. Stop it. What's with Ukraine in the middle of all of this? Now listen to the big lie coming up next in the rest of this. You got to hear. This gets me angry. Listen.
Right to determine their own destiny.
Stop.
It is America.
Stop. Run it back from the top. I broke it up by mistake.
It is America that has the capacity and the will to mobilize the world against terrorists. It is America that has rallied the world against Russian aggression.
Bull.
And in support of the Ukrainian people's right to determine their own destiny.
Hold it. That's such a crock of garbage. As I said to you earlier, and you better listen to me carefully if you think this is just a joke. He talks about the Ukrainian people's right to their own destiny. We all agree that Ukraine had the right to break away from the ex-Soviet Republic, USSR, right? When the USSR broke up, they broke off into their own nation. Well, now if Eastern Ukraine wants to break away from them and secede, why is that different, Mr. President? I mean, if you're for secession, for determining your own destiny, why are you opposed to the Russian sector withdrawing from the other part of Ukraine? What is this? Am I supposed to not use logical faculties anymore because it's nowhere to be found in Washington? No, I don't think so. And now all of a sudden he concludes with a real flurry at the end about Ebola. Listen to this. Let's hear the rest of this one now. Let's hear the rest of this flurry in 35.
It is America that has the capacity and the will to mobilize the world against terrorists.
Oh, again?
It is America that has rallied the world against Russian aggression.
Oh, nonsense.
And in support of the Ukrainian people's right
to determine
own destiny. It is America, our scientists, our doctors, our know-how.
Lies.
That can help contain and cure the outbreak of
Ebola. Oh, that's a lie.
It's America that helped remove and destroy Syria's declared chemical weapons so that
there
they can't pose a threat to the Syrian people or the world again.
Well, okay, now he gets into the greatest lies I've ever seen. Our scientists know how to cure Ebola. They're so stupid, they're bringing in patients infected with Ebola into the United States where there is no Ebola. That's how smart the scientists and doctors are. They're about as smart as the endoscopy clinic that killed Joan Rivers. That's how intelligent the medical community is working for Obama. Did you see that side note of why she died? That was a horrible story. She had a raspy throat. She went in for a normal endoscopy, put her under low-grade anesthesia. The doctor was with her, saw a little tiny growth, nodule on her vocal cords, and he went to biopsy it. Her vocal cords seized up. She choked to death and died. Horrible. Horrible what goes on once you put yourself on the table. At 81, what was she going in there for altogether? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Savage Nation. 25 minutes after the hour across the world. Even the Middle East. Surprised they haven't changed it to Muhammad Central Time and try to change the clocks of the world. I mean, they live in the 9th century. When you think about it, you think how racist and sexist and colonialist our time is? Have you thought about what Greenwich Mean Time really is? It's those imperialist ancient English, old white males who set the time around the world, around England. Greenwich Mean Time? What nerve. What nerve that is. I think that they should consider changing the clocks around the world to reflect the diversity of all of the emerging cultures, which are all equal, as you well know. They've given the world so much to the civilization of the world. We should have different time frames and optional, too. For our students from the Middle East, they should have their own clocks. And maybe we should change our school schedules according to their needs. Why stick to our harvest season as a time to begin the school year? I mean, why should we begin in September? Maybe it offends Middle Easterners. And when you think about that, September could be a very bad time to begin a school year for a Middle Easterner. It's still very hot in the desert. Why not begin in January or in November or something? I think we need to diversify and make it a more diverse nation. Why stick to one time frame? Greenwich Mean Time, Eastern Standard Time, Pacific Time? That's nonsense. That's very racist. I think we need to appeal to our diverse culture in America today. Earliest snowfall on record in South Dakota. Al Gore, calling Al Gore, calling Al Gore. Al Gore, you anywhere to be seen? Headline on the Drudge Report. Rapid City sees earliest snowfall since 1888. Al Gore's great-grandfather, it wasn't even a glint in his grandmother's eye at that time, or whatever. An early September winter storm in the Black Hills has dumped up to 8 inches of snow in the area. Rapid City received its earliest snowfall in more than 120 years. You know, I should put that on my bucket list. I want to visit Rapid City. I just like the name. I'm not into bucket lists. My whole life has been a bucket list. Robert liked that. My entire life has been a bucket list of things I've wanted to do that I've done. There's nothing I want to do that I haven't done. Would you believe that? That's horrible. All I want to do is have the health to get up every day and do a radio show. That's it. That's what I ask for. What should I ask for at this stage of my life? I don't know. What do I want? A new car? It's ridiculous. Rapid City. I like that. Snowfall this early in the year, and Al Gore's hiding somewhere in a burrow with the groundhogs because it doesn't fit his protocols of the Elders of Gore. I'm sorry. My references are too esoteric. I apologize in advance. Soon I'll start speaking in French and Spanish. I'll really lose my audience. Volcano erupts with sonic boom. Wow. Why not set the time starting in Libya somewhere? Let time start in Libya.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
First, we will conduct a systematic campaign of airstrikes against these terrorists. Working with the Iraqi government, we will expand our efforts beyond protecting our own people and humanitarian missions so that we're hitting ISIL targets as Iraqi forces go on offense.
All right, so that's part of the speech from last night. You know, to those of us who distrust Obama, it was weak, it was limp-wristed, it wasn't muscular enough. To those who love him, it was just fantastic, and that's the way politics works. Right now, I want to talk about the proof that the Muslim Brotherhood has influenced operations in the United States at the highest levels. And we have with us a guest who knows what she's talking about. Katie Gorka of the Center for Security Policy joins us now on the Savage Nation. Katie, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
So your headline article is, has the New York Times just provided proof of Muslim Brotherhood influence operations in the United States? Would you kindly tell the audience what the evidence consists of?
Yeah, it's an extraordinary article, actually, that the New York Times wrote, and sadly, most conservatives missed it because we don't read the New York Times, but they On September 7th, they published a major article with a lot of supplementary appendices as well, documenting how foreign governments have been paying millions to our think tanks in Washington, our nonprofits. You know, these are places where we thought that they were providing, you know, nonpartisan or at least professional expertise to our policymakers. And clearly they haven't been. And one of the little gems in the New York Times article that, you know, the Times didn't make this connection, but it's an easy one to make, that is one of the biggest funders of the Brookings Brookings Institution has been the government of Qatar.
Yeah, that jumped out at me. The Brookings Institution is the mainstay of the liberal establishment, and we always thought that they were American in orientation, but I was shocked to read your article where I read that they got $14.8 million from this country that supports the Muslim Brotherhood?
Yeah, isn't that incredible? And if you look into the appendices, this is all available online from the New York Times. If you look at the appendices that they published, they actually list all the governments and the amounts that have been given to Brookings. And I agree with you. We all thought that the Brookings, okay, you know, we knew it was a liberal, you know, think tank, but still, you know, we thought it was providing relatively credible professional expertise. You know, now we're hearing a different story.
Unbelievable. And to think that the New York Times outed this, that's amazing. Why do you think the New York Times published this article providing proof of Muslim Brotherhood influence in the United States? I wonder what's going on over there.
Yeah, I have no idea. It is really mystifying because, honestly, they've been one of the biggest cheerleaders for the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, their reporting on Egypt in particular has been, you know, infamously biased. And the only thing I can think is that maybe they thought we were too stupid to make the connection between this, you know, the funding from the government of Qatar to the Brookings Foundation and the Brookings then subsequent support for the Muslim Brotherhood. But
Katie Gorka, this is an interesting article, and it came. I found it over the weekend on Breitbart. And what is another part of it that really struck me as very important for the people of this show and others to learn about, which is this. In June of 2012, five members of Congress called for an investigation into Muslim Brotherhood influence in the Obama administration. Those members included Michelle Bachmann, Trent Franks, Louis Germer, Tom Rooney, and Lynn Westmoreland. And they were criticized for demanding such an investigation. And take a guess who criticized them. John McCain, John Boehner, and Mike Rogers. Why would they be criticized for wanting to see if there's any penetration?
Well, I mean, the story is that because they happen to name in their inquiry, they happen to name Huma Abedin, who, as you probably know, is one of Hillary Clinton's key staffers. And Huma Abedin, of course, is, you know, her family is very much involved with the Muslim Brotherhood. And the story going around here is that when the Clintons found out that Huma Abedin had been named in this report, they called up their friend John McCain. And John McCain went into overdrive to discredit Michelle, particularly Michelle Bachmann, but all the members who signed this letter.
What is with John McCain? I have to ask you, Katie. The man is bizarre. He's a warmonger. He's always on the wrong side of everything. Is he receiving, in your opinion, is he listed as one of those receiving the largesse of the MB?
I hate to speculate. I mean, I have my own thoughts on that, but I have to tell you, I sat in on a meeting with him this past January because my organization where I was working, we hosted a delegation of five Syrian church leaders to come to this country to talk about what was happening to the Christians in Syria. And John McCain sat across the table from these five pastors and archbishops, and he shouted at them, and he
what?
Said to them, I don't even know why you've been allowed in the building. It was an extraordinary performance.
Is John McCain crazy, or is he just totally bought and sold?
I million-dollar question. I don't know.
Maybe a little combination of the two. So, look, your article is very important. It's entitled, again, Has the New York Times Just Provided Proof of Muslim Brotherhood Influence Operations in the United States? And it's very compelling. Of course, you referenced the New York Times article. But what else is in your article that is important for my listeners to hear?
Well, I think the single most important thing is the fact that these influence operations have actually tied the hands of our law enforcement professionals. Because the point that I touched on toward the end of the article is the fact that in the fall of 2011, there was a widespread crackdown on FBI training and training throughout the military.
Mm.
This was under pressure from various individuals and groups, many of which are affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood. And they said, we do not want terrorism in any way associated with Islam.
Oh, so God.
It meant all words like jihad, Islamic terrorism, Islamist violence. That was all taken out of our training. So my question is now, and this really concerns me, how can our military and law enforcement professionals be equipped for the possible threat from ISIS if they're not allowed to be trained on jihad and Islamist violence?
And if they can't even say the name of the enemy, how can they defeat the enemy? Is that that's part of the same question, right?
There you go.
Katie Gorka, amazing work that you're doing, and you sound, I never met you, Katie, but I would like to. I think you're a very important person who's not been heard from enough, and I look forward to having you again on the Savage Nation. Katie Gorka, thank you very much.
Many thanks. Bye.
Beautiful, beautiful article. You know, and that leads me to the war in the U.S. military. I want to read you from the beginning of a chapter in my forthcoming book, Stop the Coming Civil War. Here's how I begin it. I think it's a good segue. And I begin like this. Let me start this chapter by giving you a quick history lesson. In early September 1901, then-Vice President Theodore Roosevelt stood on a stage at the Minnesota State Fair and quoted an old proverb that would be from that moment on and forever his. Just 2 weeks later, he'd begin his tenure as one of our strongest presidents. And although an assassin's bullet, which ripped through President William McKinley's stomach, put Roosevelt in the Oval Office, the phrase he spoke to the Minnesota fairgoers is the foundation on which his presidential legend began. It said, speak softly, but carry a big stick. I tell you this for one reason, so you can make a comparison with what we have in the White House right now. I don't think anybody since Teddy Roosevelt has put together a sentence that better captures how the President of the United States should act. But for President Obama, it's speak loudly and carry a limp stick. And that's the beginning of the chapter on the military in Stop the Coming Civil War. Okay, I'll just stop right there. Let's go to the callers right now on the Savage Nation. Let's take some good callers on the Savage Nation. I'm going to give out free books to all of you who get on the show today. Let's go to WABC. Dax, thanks for calling from New York City.
Hello, Mike. This is Jack from New Jersey. How you doing?
Jack, what's on your mind?
All right. You asked before about...
Okay, Jack, you'll have to speak up. It's a terrible connection. Let's fix it. Go.
I think he should say, as they did in the Roman Empire, my fellow citizens of America.
You mean rather than my fellow Americans? Why?
Say it again?
Okay, thank you very much. Michigan, WJR, one of my great affiliates in Detroit. Pete, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Today is the three-year anniversary of Benghazi, and I believe, well, the Muslim Brotherhood and ISIS were involved, and no one's talking about it. Not last night, not tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I
yesterday had Aaron Klein on with his book about Benghazi. I mean, I know how important this is, and I know who it's traced to, and what you're saying is you think that this is a giant cover-up to get Benghazi off the headlines, is to suddenly put out a call to arms on 9/11, or the evening of 9/10, rather.
Right, that's him, and he's knowledgeable, but not the president. Nobody's talking about that, you know.
Okay. We learned today, by the way, that the president, as well-meaning as he may be, and I emphasize the word may, told us that he was going to put together a coalition. Today we learned Turkey said, no, you're not using our soil. Now today, Syria and Iran attacked Obama for fighting the Islamic State. Did you hear this one? This just came out. The Syrian state-run Al-Thawra newspaper warned in a front-page editorial today that President Obama's authorization of airstrikes in Syria might be the, quote, first sparks of fire in the region. Because I suspect all along that airstrikes on Syrian territory are a pretext to take down Assad. And they're going to drag Russia into this. I can guarantee you that Russia's not going to stand idly by if Obama says, whoops, we accidentally hit Syrian military emplacements rather than ISIS. I don't think Russia's going to stand idly by. This is really a dangerous flashpoint here, because the extremists inside Syria should be the target. And Syria said that they stand ready and willing to partner with the international community to defeat these militants. But the Syrian National Coalition said that airstrikes need to be coupled with a strategy toppling President Bashar al-Assad. So you see what's going on here, right? Did you hear this? Look, it's too much information for the average person. But you should know that both Syria and Iran attacked Obama's speech last night for different reasons. And frankly, this international coalition seems to be falling apart before it's been hobbled together. It seems to be falling apart before it's been put together. And that's a sad thing. Don't think I'm gloating here. Iran's president, Hassan Rouhani, whose country is a staunch ally of Assad, also said just now that regional and international cooperation will be vital, even though Tehran has not been invited to join an international coalition against the ISIS group. That's an amazing story unto itself. In Tehran, the foreign ministry spokeswoman said that the serious ambiguities exist in this coalition. That's very interesting. So, again, this is nothing to celebrate. This is nothing to celebrate, because we do need a coalition of the willing to take down these ninth century maniacs. But we're not getting it. And that's because people suspect that Obama has several agendas going on all at once. One is possibly to take down ISIS, and the other is to take down Assad. That is not going to be tolerated by Russia, by Iran, nor by Syria. So right away, that's already fallen apart. Then we learned this morning that Turkey said, no, you can't use our soil from which to launch airstrikes. That's fallen apart. So who's the coalition going to be, us and Ireland? I don't know. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're talking about 9/11. We're talking about the fact that, thank God, so far, the 9th century throwbacks have not been able to attack us. And, I mean, there's a reason for it. We have a lockdown in America that we all detest. And I know that Ben Franklin wrote, those who are willing to give up their freedom for a little bit of security wind up with neither. I get that. But at this point, we do need a little security, don't we? And we need a little more freedom. I agree with that. And the biggest story to me is Britain in meltdown. I mean, when you think about that, the separatists around the world are watching what's going on in Scotland. And now Catalonia wants to vote for independence. So all over the world, we see moves for independence, except in the old United States of America. We once declared independence from the tyranny of King George. Now we have King Obama. And many of us, millions of us, in fact, would like to declare independence from him and his psychotic liberal academic policies. But we can't, can we? And while I'm speaking about independence movements, since the president brought up Ukraine and how they have the right to determine their own sovereignty and independence, I would argue, by the same token, so do the Russians in eastern Ukraine have a right to break away from the government in Kiev. By the very same token of independence from groups that you don't get along with, why shouldn't they break away? I mean, it doesn't make sense. What, it's good to have independence somewhere, but not everywhere? So the whole thing falls apart. It's that simple. And by the way, this is good news for those of us who detest the emerging New World Order, because these idiots, like Zuckerberg, think they run the world, and probably they do. Here's a guy with more money than God, this putz from Harvard, who creates Facebook. And suddenly he's telling us he doesn't give a damn about our borders, he doesn't give a damn about our Congress, and he goes and he meets the billionaire Carlos Slim in Mexico to plot amnesty for illegal aliens here in America. Let me tell you something, we have a nation of laws, not a nation of Zuckerbergs. And the more Zuckerberg keeps this up, the more there's going to be a reaction to the Zuckerbergs of the world. And the reaction has not yet been seen, Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg, of course, isn't hearing me, he's laughing at anyone who dares say one word to him, because he is a master of the universe. Sessions, Senator Jeff Sessions, said don't give the masters of the universe amnesty. He knows who they are. Carlos Slim of Mexico and Zuckerberg are now trumping the U.S. Congress and the will of the people. You betcha. You betcha that's the new world disorder. That's the new world disorder. Time for one quick call. Jerry on WBAP, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, how's it going? I was letting your culture know that I'm in the Army Reserve, and I got a message that a couple of months back, an ALARAC message was sent out, detailing that to stop all equal opportunity or EO training, because some officers decided to create EO briefings, and soldiers in those briefings found out that their particular political party or religious organization...
I'm sorry, my friends, I get it. It's anti-Christian. I get it. Again, the Muslims are operating in the military.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents. And the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim. And ISIL is certainly not a state.
All right, say it like it is. That's good to know. I'm glad they're not Muslim. I was worried for a while. Every time I hear anything that they say it's for Islam and they're going to make Sharia law the law of the world. I mean, I'm glad to hear they're not Muslim. I don't know what religion they are then. If they're not Muslim, what are they? I can anyone answer that for me? If they're not Muslim, who are they? They claim they are. They say they are. They say they're going to make Sharia the law of the land. They cut people's heads off who are not Muslim. They kill Christians, blow up churches. And now my president says that they're not Muslims. So they're not, are they Zoroastrians? Are they Christians? Are they Jewish? Are they Hindus? Are they a religion I don't know of? Who are they? They wrap themselves in the garb of Muslims. They carry around Qurans. So you have to say they are Muslims, but they're sort of an extremist offshoot of the modern Muslim religion. I mean, would you say that would be accurate? But to say that they're not Muslim is insanity altogether. And to tell our troops that they're not Muslim, that's even crazier. What are they? They claim they are. But the question really is on the Savage Nation today, let's be clear. Do you feel threatened by them? Yes or no? Because the instincts of Obama are very poor instincts. They're very, very poor instincts. And I don't know about supporting the anti-Assad rebels. I suspect that that's going to backfire, and they're really using it as a cover to go after Assad, which will drag in Russia and Iran. This is awful. Why take so long to do this? Longer than World War II now? Why not just go in there and knock them off once and for all? Well, the question is how. Well, the Kurds say they'd be glad to go in and fight and kill them. They overthrow local regimes, and they eventually want to get the United States and Israel. We get that. However, if you want to underestimate them, do so at your own risk, because they're creating an army of hackers that's very worrisome. See, now this transcends the small areas that they occupy, and this transcends a region. You look at it on the link on the Drudge Report. ISIS plans sophisticated hacking army. This is important for you to understand. A lot of these guys are Westerners who are experts at using the internet. And they're marching through towns, but now they're creating an army of hackers. And they're going to encrypt their hacking so they can't even be counterattacked. And then the group boasts of its plans to create a cyber caliphate. And then, to make matters worse, they claim that they're going to install Sharia law wherever they go. So don't tell me they're not Muslim. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's not helpful in fighting the war. Islamic State boasting of its plans to create a sophisticated cyber army. plans to use cyber caliphate to launch attacks on banks and governments. British hacker once jailed for cyber attack on prime minister thought to be involved. Comes as President Obama announces airstrikes will extend into Syria. Okay, so where do we go with this? How did you feel about the president's speech last night? Remember, every winner this hour of the callers gets a free copy of my forthcoming bestseller, Stop the Coming Civil War. Tommy T on WABC, fire away, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I agree with you. When I heard him say, fellow Americans, it was deja vu. I thought it was back in the Johnson administration, and I looked around to see if I was still in Vietnam. But I think the president should have addressed his speech by saying that we, the people of the United States of America, are coming to get you. You can run, but you only die tired.
No, I agree with you. What is this with this obscure concept of a plan? Why doesn't he say we're coming for you? You better hide because we're going to find you.
Well, it's old news, but we go back to Saul Alinsky and Rules for Radicals and, again...
So let me ask you this. You're a critic of the president, as I am, obviously. You don't trust anything this man does. Everything is deceptive. Everything he's ever done is deceptive. At the same time, he's telling us he's protecting us. He opened the border with Mexico. So what should we believe here, Tommy? Do you think he's really going after them?
No, I don't. I think he's so deceived that he believes his own lie. I mean, I was with law enforcement way back when, and we catch guys red-handed doing something, and they would lie. It was so sociopathic, and I believe that's what we're dealing with. This man has...
Wait, let me hear what you're saying. When you were in law enforcement and you caught a criminal in the act, they would lie. They would say they weren't doing it. So what do you think the president is saying that is untrue?
I think he believes his own rhetoric. He believes his own brainwashing that came along through all the years. He's such a product of it that he doesn't even know. He really believes what he is saying. And I don't believe he's an American. How can he say fellow Americans? I don't think he really understands what America really is and what we really believe.
And when he says other things as last night that they're not Muslim, didn't that strike you as a little ridiculous?
Oh, I was sitting there, and I looked around to my wife. I said, did you just hear what I heard? I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, he may say they're not Muslims, but that's a double insult to them because they say they're fighting for Islam.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
I mean, so, you know, ask them what they think they are. They're not Christians. They're not Jews. They're not Buddhists. They're not Hindus.
And parsing the things of ISIL and ISIS, I mean, there's these little nuances of things that he comes with.
Yes. He keeps changing it to ISIL. You remember a caller in the last hour said that's an insult to Israel because ISIL refers to a land bridge through the Middle East which eliminates Israel?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I really didn't know that. Tommy, you're a very astute man. I'm so happy that I'm going to send you a free copy of Stop the Coming Civil War, which you're going to get probably before anyone gets it in the bookstores. Because with the countdown, I just got a copy of it now. Thank you for your service to America, Tommy. Let's go to the next caller in Virginia. Robert on WLVA Radio. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. When I heard this last night, I believe that Obama does not have the moral leadership that the Bushes had, the first Bush and the second Bush leadership. They had moral leadership, and that's what the many of the Muslim Arab leadership wanted, but they do not see any moral leadership in this guy, especially this guy and his party and the liberals, and, you know, they have the very hate.
Why would moral leadership matter? Where does it matter?
Well, for one, I mean, the Bushes were religious. Obama, even though he's a Muslim, he's not religious, and his party is very not religious. In fact,
let me ask you this. How does his obvious atheism, let's call him an atheist, not a Muslim, even though he had two Muslim fathers, I would think that by definition he would be a sympathetic towards Islam, and that's fine. But I want to know what you mean. How would a moral basis change things?
Well, I mean, the Bushes were religious, and they understand the Islam religion, even though there were...
All right, so you say that the Bushes saw it for what it was, a religious war.
Yeah. And what I'm saying,
you're a winner of Stop the Coming Civil War, stay on the line. That's what you're saying. I want to go to KSFO in San Francisco. Norman, welcome to the Savage Nation. Fire away. Go ahead, please.
Hey there, Dr. Savage. I'd like to talk about the fact that we sold back in July $11 billion worth of arms to Qatar. That included like Apache helicopters and Patriot air missile systems and Javelin missile systems.
Yeah, and this very same guitar is a supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood, which has infiltrated our government. I mean, that's what you're saying.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we could end up fighting our very own equipment here very shortly. Again.
We are doing it already because the Islamists in this group have stolen our tanks from the Iraqi army.
Well, now they got helicopters.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, Norman. It's very hard to follow what is going on, I admit it. But we all know that we're a little frightened of the fact that they're all over this country and possibly in very high places as well. Stay on the line, Norman. You get a free copy of my new book, Stop the Coming Civil War, going out to you immediately. 855-400-7282. We have time for one last caller in this segment. Greg in Montgomery, Alabama on WLWI. Greg, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I wanted to just get straight to the point about the president's speech last night. I thought it was very vacuous and duplicitous. And I wanted to say that it was vacuous in the point that he basically outlined what he wanted to do to ISIS as a wink-wink. I'd like to agree with the call of about the whole ISIS thing. But I thought it was duplicitous in this. He said that ISIS was not Islamic and that most of their individuals that they attacked were Muslims. Well, what about those Christians that were trapped on that mountain for days and we had to drop those supplies to them?
I understand, yes. And many of their victims, let's be clear, many of their victims have been Muslims who were not fanatic enough for them. That is true. However, those trapped on the mountaintop were Yazidis who are not Christian nor Muslim. It's a spinoff of the Zoroastrian religion. But nevertheless, Obama didn't mention them. Obama didn't mention the fact that they've burned churches to the ground and killed Christians as well. That would have been a little closer to the truth. And I think that's what you're saying. Is that correct?
Yes, but I also wanted to make this quick point, and I wanted to ask you a quick question before we go. He said that he wanted to arm the Syrian rebels, the same Free Syrian Army that sold Jason Sotloff to ISIL for $50,000, which ended up in him being beheaded.
That's right. No, this is a terrible, terrible thought that we're actually going to be funding our own enemy. This is the worst thing I've ever heard, and I think this whole war is a smokescreen to attack and bring down Assad. And that's why John McCain is all for it, and that's why the War Party is for it. And I think this whole smokescreen about ISIS was we allowed them to build up, he allowed them to build up, to use them as a smokescreen to get into Syria with airstrikes, to blow up Assad's military and overthrow him. That's what I fear. It's a very serious story. Stop the Coming Civil War is going out to you, Greg. So stay on the line, and Doug will take your name and address. We'll get that out to you the minute it comes out. Again, ladies and gentlemen, America is at the breaking point. And we must remember that while we're talking today, we're going to be voting in a very short period of time. Many of you are disheartened by the spineless Republican Party. In my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, I tell you we have only one chance. That's to throw out Harry Reid, throw out the party of Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, Harry Reid, get rid of them, send them a message. It's the only option we have, and then work on the Republican Party. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. You want to hear the news? It's so horrible, I dare not read it to you. All right, let's go to MichaelSavage.com. Immigrants and Epidemic, Savage tried to warn America 30 years ago. Give me a gold star and a halo. Top left, Stop the Coming Civil War, pre-order today. Stop Obama from granting amnesty for illegal aliens. It links to the Barnes & Noble. And in hardcover, it's number one. Hospital sets patient record as mystery virus spreads. It's not a mystery virus. It's the same exact strain as that found in endemic in Nicaragua. Nicaragua is the home of some of the dreamer children that Obama dumped into our public schools. Any other president would be arrested for this. If it could be proven he did it on purpose, it's an impeachable offense. If it could be proven he did it without knowing the consequences, he could be impeached for it for being a dummy. In either case, he should be impeached for it. But okay, what the heck? Add that to the litany and the list. And then let him get away with it because you're afraid you'll antagonize Al Sharpton or NBC. In Massachusetts, Lynn, Massachusetts, he dumped illegal alien children into Lynn because Lynn was a working class factory town, poor whites.
Now you have hundreds now fearing that they have TB. That's where they dumped the illegal alien children, remember? The people said, don't do it. Obama said, you know what? I'm going to golf. And I mean, we're focused on the viral spread of Ebola in Africa. That's depressing, especially when you have an idiot running the country who was sending U.S. military personnel to the source of the illness. That's very smart. That's something that only a community organizer who is so dumb that he can't see outside of his own agenda would do. Why would you take the U.S. military and send them to an infectious zone in Africa without calculating the potential risk of them bringing Ebola back and infecting others, including other troops? We haven't done some of the good sound. Oh, this is a scream. As I said, Nancy Pelosi must be on vacation somewhere because we haven't heard from her laugh lines recently. But we've got Kerry, which we played. This is even better. Here's Janet Napolitano, who, as you know, as director of Department of Homeland Security, destroyed our borders, weakened us in every way possible. And as a reward, she was made the president of the University of California, and she's fast on ruining that university system as quickly as she can. So now she goes on the propaganda channel, MSNBC, and she tries to justify what she did as DHS secretary in clip 5. Listen.
Well, obviously, they've grown exponentially in terms of size and capacity and capability. Yes, they were on everybody's radar screen. They were there. The issue of travelers was already present. There were lots of kind of discussions with how do you get the region and the countries in the region to participate in a more vital and a more vigorous manner. But were they the dominant source of conversation? Not at the time, no.
In other words, she knows she's liable for what she did as DHS secretary. She fears that she'll be held liable one day in a trial by the American people. I pray to God there is such a trial. I really pray to God there's almost a revolution in the country and that the people who've destroyed this country are called to trial, as any sane nation would do. These people have destroyed this country at every level. Opened the borders, permitted diseased individuals, brought diseased individuals in, permit ISIS to enter the country, let ISIS grow, supported those who would destroy. Everything they touched was wrong, either by accident or on purpose. They don't know what the heck they're talking about, or worse yet, they do know what they're talking about, and they're just covering their tracks because they fear the American people are about to catch up with them. And I'm telling you again, you can do something about it. You can buy Stop the Coming Civil War. That's my new book. It's out October 7th. Why am I hammering the book so much? You think I want to get rich? Let me explain something to you. This country is on the brink of extinction. I'll laugh if you want. If you tell me that when you read that 1 out of 3 children in California is an illegal alien who does not speak English, tell me what the future of this country looks like. They're not all going to integrate. They're not going to all assimilate. If you want to know what America will look like under Jerry Brown, take a look at Tijuana. That's what the Democrat socialist machine wants. Is ignoramuses who don't even speak the language so they can pull the wool over their eyes and build railway lines to nowhere. So what does my book have to do with it? If you get the book and you simply hold it at work, put it on your desk at work, put it on a coffee table, and people say, what's this Stop the Coming Civil War about? Bingo. You have the billboard. You have a discussion. You have a chance to throw the bums out. See, I did politics. Didn't want to do that.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
See, if I were Obama's speechwriter, I wouldn't have opened with my fellow Americans. I would have opened with this. I would have opened with nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And I would have done like a little performance. I mean, I'd be loose about it. Not all uptight. I mean, what's he being so uptight about? Here's the latest news. Last night, the president said that Turkey will be part of the coalition. Today, Erdogan of Turkey said they will not allow the U.S. to use its air bases to fight ISIS. End of story. Turkey will refuse to allow a U.S.-led coalition to attack jihadists in neighboring Iraq and Syria from its air bases, nor will it take part in combat operations against militants. A government official told AFP Thursday. That's a horrible decision for us. Now, this decision follows the nation's refusal to allow the U.S. to station 60,000 troops in Turkey in 2003 to invade Iraq from the north. Look, the Turkish military is a very powerful military. Just look up Gallipoli if you think that it just started. You know, if you remember the movie Gallipoli with Mel Gibson, it's a long time ago, but the Gallipoli
was a horrible tragedy because the Turks are ferocious warriors and they have a phenomenal military. Unfortunately for the West, they have tilted to Islamism under Erdogan, who's trying to stave off his own overthrow, basically, by appeasing them. You know, that's his political base he's got to worry about. Yesterday, Obama stated Turkey needs to be involved in a coalition against ISIS. And today, Turkey said, no, niet, no, nothing doing. Terrible. Just horrible. Just horrible, horrible, horrible. Horrible! Earliest snowfall on record in South Dakota. Did you see that in the Drudge Report? You hear this? No, notice Al Gore is nowhere to be seen. He's like a groundhog. Whenever there's nothing to prove global warming, which of course doesn't exist, at least let us say man-induced global warming. We all know we hate pollution, so please don't put me in the camp of a guy who loves pollution. I've been fighting it longer than you have probably been born. I was rescuing rainforests before most of you leftists were even born, before you were glinting your father's eye. I'm not arguing in favor of pollution. I hate pollution. I'm a naturalist. I'm a botanist. So don't tell me what I already know. Earliest snowfall on record in South Dakota. Snow blankets, Denver. Al Gore, of course, is hiding because it doesn't support their fantasy. Nature has a way of correcting itself. That doesn't mean we shouldn't rid ourselves of these horrendous machines that poison the earth. We will, and we are. We've gone from coal to gasoline. I'm sure eventually we'll go from gasoline to solar power entirely. Who wouldn't want solar power? I mean, I do like a 500-horsepower engine, don't get me wrong. But a solar car would be fine if they could really make one that worked, that you don't have to plug in. Plug in, turn on, take off. That would be the motto of the hydrogen car that I want. Plug in, turn on, take off. I don't know. I'm in a giddy mood. Because there was no attack. Thank God. There's no attack. I mean, what do you want me to do? I am not interested in the Islamic speech of last night. I am not interested in the Islamic speech. We have all the clips. The poor guys are working since midnight. I feel giddy because we haven't been attacked. We haven't been attacked. Where are they? Where are they hiding now? What are they planning now? Where are they? They're so consumed with hate, it's beyond belief. How do people grow up hating everybody so much? How? They're not even Democrats. How do they get like this? How do they grow up hating from the day they're born? Look, if I had studied Freudian psychology, I would assume it's sexual frustration. The whole thing is built on a sexual repression. This goes back to the anti-war movement of make love, not war, when you really think about it. When the hippie girls were putting the stems of daisies in the rifles of the National Guard. Remember those days, if you were around then? That was a cute little image. The hippie chicks with the body paint put make love, not war, at the poor 18-year-old kids with guns. I mean, they didn't know what to do. They had a fixed bayonet at the college campus waiting for a riot. And here comes this chick, half-dressed, and putting a body paint on, sticking a flower in the barrel of the gun. Can someone do that with the Islamists, put a flower in their gun? I don't think so. No, I don't think that would work. Flower power, that wouldn't work, I don't think, in the Middle East. That's another reason they're frustrated. They don't grow flowers there. It's too arid. Think about what they're deprived of. Sex, flowers, alcohol. You know what's a big topic, a very big topic? Do you want to comment on the president's ISIL speech? All right, guys, play a little piece of it so they know what they're listening to on the Savage Nation.
My fellow Americans.
My fellow here.
Tonight I want to speak to you about what the United States will do.
Right off the bat, I turn it off. But the minute I hear fellow Americans, I turn it off. I'm not living in Benjamin Franklin's time. Kind of revise the script. Fellow Americans. I mean, it just strikes me as a stupid, idiotic speech. Okay, go on. I won't say another word.
My highest priority is the security of the American people.
Wait a minute. Stop. Wait a minute, sir. Sir, with all respect to yourself and your office, if your highest priority is to the safety of the American people, why have you broken our border open on the South and let in children with diseases such as TB, which is now spreading in Lynn, Massachusetts, and the respiratory illnesses that are spreading throughout the Midwest because of you? What do you mean your highest priority? Who wrote this for him? Newt Gingrich? All right, let's hear a little bit more.
We have consistently taken the fight to terrorists who threaten our country. We took out Osama bin Laden and much of Al-Qaeda.
Again, Osama bin Laden.
In Afghanistan and Pakistan.
I can't. I see, I told you, Ken. I don't like anyone who says Pakistan either. It's too politically correct. Americans say Pakistan, not Pakistan. Right away, there's a giveaway. Think about what I'm saying. There's a lot to be seen in what I'm saying. Pakistan. That's like saying gutter, guitar, catter. No one has to. Why do you have to pronounce it like you're a native of the area? Do it in the American vernacular, Pakistan. If you're from Brooklyn, say Pakistan. If you're from Queens, say Pakistan. If you're from the Bronx, say Pakistan. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And my feeling is this. The entire Muslim world is eventually going to rise up against the West. It's going to happen. They're going to unify, whether it's 50 years from now or whenever. And you may as well look ahead now like a MacArthur looking at China down the road. MacArthur lost his job because he said what I'm about not to say, so I'm not going to say it because I don't want to lose mine. The problem here is that the genius in the White House is not going to use sufficient force to make a lasting impression on the terrorists who only understand power. The only thing they understand is death and terror and power, in plain English. I mean, you want to be serious about it. It's a gang that's rising up, threatening the sovereignty of the gangs that run the West. And the gangs that run the West right now permit a certain degree of tolerance and prosperity, while the gangs that are rising up permit no such thing. So they have to be wiped off the planet. It's going to get much worse, I'm warning you. And I'm telling you again, you can do something about it. You can buy Stop the Coming Civil War. That's my new book. It's out October 7th. Why am I hammering the book so much? You think I want to get rich? Let me explain something to you. This country is on the brink of extinction. Laugh if you want. If you tell me that when you read that one out of three children in California is an illegal alien who does not speak English, tell me what the future of this country looks like. They're not all going to integrate. They're not going to all assimilate. If you want to know what America will look like under Jerry Brown, take a look at Tijuana. That's what the Democrat Socialist machine wants. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Now let's listen to a summary of the greatest sound in the history of talk radio for September 11th, 2014. Remember, September 11th. You know, let's take our hats off to the intelligence agencies of the West. They have stopped another attack. I mean, let's give credit where credit is due. We all complain about taking off our pants and our shoes and our hats and our canes. Meanwhile, they've stopped another attack, haven't they? At least let's say thanks right now to the TSA. Let's all salute the TSA on the Savage Nation. Here's some sound for you to listen to, a short piece of the president on the ISIL, not the full speech, but a piece of it.
We can't erase every trace of evil from the world, and small groups of killers have the capacity to do great harm. That was the case before 9/11, and that remains true today. And that's why we must remain vigilant as threats emerge. At this moment, the greatest threats come from the Middle East and North Africa, where radical groups exploit grievances for their own gain. And one of those groups is ISIL, which calls itself the Islamic State. Now let's make two things clear. ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents, and the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim. And ISIL is certainly not a state.
My friends, my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, predicted this. The book is out in just a few weeks. I implore you to buy an advance copy. So the minute it's out, you have it on your hands. You can take it to work. You can put it at your workstation. You can put it on your coffee table. You can go to work with it in your hand. I'm trying to warn you that America is at the breaking point. We have to change the current government. We have to stop the liberal left-wing policies that are eating away at the principles that Americans hold most dear. Use your power at the voting booth. Join your fellow Americans in helping to stop the coming civil war. On CNN, John McCain slammed somebody, I don't know who, I think Jay Carney, they had a fight, whoever Jay Carney used to be a spokesmouth for Obama, they had a fight.
I'm astounded that Mr. Carney should say that the Free Syrian Army is now stronger. In fact, They've been badly.
Well, that's not what I said, Senator. I said, if I could, sir, what I said is that we know a great deal more about the makeup
about
of the opposition.
Come on, Jay, we knew all about them then. You just didn't choose to know. I was there in Syria. We knew them. Come on, you guys are the ones. It's your boss is the one that when the entire national security team wanted to arm and train them, that he turned them down, Mr. Carney, after... facts are stubborn things, Mr. Carney, and that is his entire national security team, including his Secretary of State, said we want to arm and train and equip these people, and he made the unilateral decision to turn them down.
You got to hear this one. Here's Ted Cruz being booed off stage at, of all places, a Middle East Christian conference, and only because he stood with Israel, they booed him.
I will say this. To say that some here, not everyone, but some here, are so consumed with hate. You cannot address the other. I will say this.
You speak for yourself.
If you will not stand with Israel and the Jews,
no,
then I will not stand with you. Thank you, and God bless you.
I thought the Christians and Jews got along in the Middle East. I guess I'm mistaken. Meanwhile, Newt Gingrich says this was closer to a Bush speech than anything Obama has said before.
This speech really struck me as we were sitting here talking. You know, reality is a harsh teacher. This speech is closer to a George W. Bush speech than it is to anything Barack Obama would have said between 2007 and this week. I mean, go through this speech and what do you think Dick Cheney would not be willing to say that's in this speech? It is a remarkable moment of a president who didn't want to be doing this, being trapped in a world. And I like the speech. I think it's a very powerful speech, but it sure is not the Obama policy prior to tonight.
Well, maybe he hired Bush's speechwriter. We don't know. Bob Schieffer, an old girl, one of the old guard, old girl members of the government media complex, of course, gushed over Obama's speech, saying it represents a major change in American strategy.
This speech tonight shows us a real evolution in where the president was just in the last week of August when he said, we can't put the cart before the horse. We don't have a strategy yet. Tonight, I think the key words that he spoke were, if you threaten America, you will find no safe haven. He went on to say he's going to expand and intensify the air war. He will go after the terrorists wherever they are, including Syria. Now, this represents a major change in American strategy.
Yeah, really, Bob. Bob, it's time for you to hit Boca Raton. Time for you to get the white hat and disappear. Ralph Peters says Obama's goal is not to defeat ISIS. It's to kick the can down the road.
Let me sum up the president's speech tonight for you in one sentence. I, Barack Obama, am going to do what Bill Clinton did with Al-Qaeda and kick the can down the road to the next president. Let me go on record on September 10th in the year of our Lord in 2014 as saying that Barack Obama's shabby pretense at a strategy as laid out tonight will not defeat and destroy the Islamic State. And by the way, it is Islamic, and it is a nascent state with a caliphate.
David Brooks, whoever he is, I think he's a fanatic leftist of some sort, says you have to salute Obama for straightforward ISIS strategy. Okay, great.
That was pretty clear. Pretty straightforward. I think presidents should always be saluted when they go against their natural inclinations. His inclination is not to use military force. It's certainly not to insert American power and American bombs into another Arab country. And that's what we're going to be doing. But I thought they laid out a four-point strategy that was reasonably clear. And it's pretty ambitious. I guess the question I would ask is, he said our goal is clear, to destroy ISIS.
Rand Paul, I don't always support intervention, but this is one I do support. Okay, Rand.
Now, this is an intervention, and I don't always support intervention, but this is one I do support. But I think the president would be more powerful, the country would be more united. He should have come before a joint session of Congress, laid out his plan, as he did tonight. It isn't the constitutional way. It doesn't in any way represent what our Constitution dictates, nor what our founding fathers intended. So it is unconstitutional what he's doing.
Lieutenant Bill Cowan says, where were the specifics in Obama's ISIS speech? I don't know.
The president laid out last night more of a general broad strategy than a plan by any means. There were really no specifics. Specifics to me would have meant I'm immediately ordering airstrikes to begin tonight, relentless, targeted, unending. But instead he talked about, indeed, airstrikes at some point, not using our ground troops, using other people's ground troops, building a coalition, doing humanitarian work like we've done. These are all things that are going to take an awful lot of time to accomplish.
He is a hot one on the Savage Nation. Michelle Bachman says the FBI told me Americans who fight with ISIS will be allowed to return.
The FBI told me, and it was classified at the time, now it is open source documents, that there were two Minnesotans that had joined up with the Islamic State. I asked the FBI, if they choose to return to Minnesota, will they be allowed to? The FBI responded, yes, they will. They're American citizens.
Wow. Well, again, let's conclude this show today for September 11th, 2014, by remembering the great speech I gave on September 11th, 2001, which we played today, and also thanking our intelligence agencies for preventing another attack on our homeland. Good night, and God bless America. This is the Savage Nation signing off.
Savage.